VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And friends, we thank you for joining us today on Crosstalk. There is a new awakening that has occurred since the COVID shots were introduced that, well, then speedily rolled out in emergency use authorization, you know, first for adults, then teens, then children, then infants. As of July 21st, 2023, nearly 1.6 million adverse effects to the COVID shot have been reported to the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System. Now, again, folks, that's the number that has been reported, including over 35,600 deaths, over 20,400 heart attacks, over 67,000 left permanently disabled, and over 206,000 hospitalizations. Well, as the dust continues to settle, many eyes have been opened. Many have felt deceived. Many have felt lied to. If you get the shot, you'll not get COVID. Many are overwhelmed by the controlling arm of government and outraged at their online censorship of those who attempted to get out the truth. A number of colleges and universities are still requiring COVID shots to attend, and now it's anticipated that the CDC is likely to recommend annual COVID shots similar to the flu shot. So what's happened with the COVID shot has brought a whole new awakening and understanding of what's happening with vaccinations as a whole. Joining us today, we welcome back Barbara Lowe Fisher, president of the National Vaccine Information Center. They're a nonprofit charity that she co-founded with parents of DPT vaccine-injured children in 1982. They're a national grassroots movement and also a public information campaign to institute vaccine safety reforms and informed consent protections in the public health system. She has researched, analyzed, publicly articulated the major issues involved in the science, the policy, law, ethics, and politics of vaccination to become one of the world's leading non-medical consumer advocacy experts on the subject. Barbara, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Well, thank you so much. Yes, there is so much going on, it's almost impossible to pick topics that we can cram into 1 hour whenever we have this conversation.
So,
but I think your opening was excellent because it's so true. All you have to do is go on to the media online and look at the media reports covering the COVID vaccine issue. And if you go to the comment sections, you can see overwhelmingly 80% of the comments are from people who have either suffered a COVID vaccine reaction or know someone who has suffered a COVID vaccine reaction, or people who are reporting that they got 4 COVID shots and they still got COVID. So this whole awakening, it is an awakening that those of us who have been doing this work for 40 years in this country have been waiting for this awakening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unfortunate that it had to get to this point where a very dangerous vaccine was fast-tracked to licensure in December of 2020 after only 9 months of study. It's not really a vaccine. I call it a cell disruptor biological because it does things to your body. It turns your body into a vaccine manufacturing plant. And as more and more evidence comes out, as scientists try to publish this evidence that this is a very dangerous vaccine, they're being censored, just like many users of social media platforms are being censored for daring to talk about this and daring to dissent from the government and World Health Organization's narrative about the safety and effectiveness of the COVID-19
and the Biden biological product. The Biden administration has been very much at the forefront of this censorship. I mean, the communications with online companies, social media companies, et cetera, that's block, stop, get that information off, you know, or bury it. A direct involvement. I mean, that topic alone should outrage individuals.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, NVIC, and I've talked about it before on your show, that we were immediately censored in 2021 after we held our 2020 Fifth International Public Conference of Vaccination online and vilified. and characterized as terrorists and people who were trying to cause injury and death because people would listen to what we have to say and wouldn't use the vaccine. And so we were taken off of all four social media platforms. We also, Democrat representatives in the House of Representatives, wrote a letter to PayPal in December of 2021, basically telling them to cut off our ability to have donations, which PayPal did. This is a direct involvement of government in a very highly rated charity. We have never done anything wrong. We have only been publishing information that we reference and put out, and we never tell anybody not to vaccinate or to vaccinate because we support the informed consent ethic. And we're not alone. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your history is, what your credentials are. If you do not conform with the government and World Health Organization narratives about COVID-19 vaccine and the disease, SARS-CoV-2, then you are become a target for censorship. And there is a lawsuit that was filed in Louisiana this year against U.S. federal agencies, accusing them of engaging in a widespread campaign of pressuring and colluding with social media platforms to censor users' free speech. And I certainly know that that's true. And a Louisiana U.S. district judge issued an injunction against the government continuing to do that. And we were very happy when that occurred. But on July 14th, a U.S. federal appeals court issued a temporary stay blocking that injunction. So what's their argument against that injunction? They say that it will limit the president's ability to communicate his views and protect the public health and national security. Their argument is the federal agencies and the president, they have to have the ability to engage in this kind of censorship and combat, quote, what they term misinformation. This case is now going to go to another appeals panel of judges who will decide whether to extend or deny the government's request for a stay. So we don't know what the ultimate outcome will be. I certainly hope that the court system will do the right thing and uphold the First Amendment's our right to free speech.
Indeed. And we heard so much about transparency prior to this presidency, and we've had anything but. Barbara, if you would just highlight for us, if you could, and I know this is a question that could go on for hours, but highlight for us what are some of the things we have learned since the rollout of the COVID-19 shot that have brought about this awakening of the people. There are many things that have all of a sudden just, you know, we always trusted the government. This is what you need. This is going to take care of you. What things have we learned that is bringing about this new awakening?
Well, in terms of COVID-19 vaccine, we know that it was fast-tracked to market in a way that no other vaccine has ever been fast-tracked, using a technology that has never been used. mRNA, the majority of people in this country, more than 80% of Americans have gotten at least one COVID shot. According to the New York Times, more than 70% of people in the world have gotten a COVID shot. The majority of people have gotten mRNA vaccines. And that mRNA technology, which basically programs your cells to create a synthetic spike protein of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, we've never had that kind of technology. It had never been licensed before, and yet it was licensed in 9 months with clinical trials that we still don't have the full information on what happened in those pre-approval clinical trials. And that vaccine was approved under an emergency use authorization. Again, we've never done that. So it was basically an experimental vaccine that had not been fully licensed by the FDA when it was released for public use in December of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the FDA regulations, guidelines, rather, that the companies were supposed to follow, you really find, I mean, that's what those of us who understand what those guidelines are about knew when that vaccine was issued under an emergency use authorization that the companies only had to demonstrate 50% efficacy in terms of preventing effectiveness, in terms of preventing serious symptoms of COVID disease. They did not have to demonstrate prevention of infection and transmission. But when the vaccine came out, all of the media, all of the messaging coming from the government was that, and from doctors, leading doctors, was that if you got the COVID shot, you were not going to be infected or transmit.
That's what we were told.
That is exactly what you were told. And in fact, the president said several times in press conference that stated that. So everyone thought that if they, and that's why we have had, I think, certainly part of the reason there's a more than 80% of Americans have had at least one COVID shot. But it was the really, I believe, the withholding or the cover-up of the risks associated with the COVID vaccine, particularly mRNA COVID vaccines, because that's the majority of people have gotten the Pfizer or the Moderna mRNA COVID vaccine in this country. And immediately when those reports of adverse events, the myocarditis, inflammation of the heart, signs of inflammation of the brain, Guillain-Barré syndrome and other Bell's palsy and other symptoms of reactions to these COVID vaccines, then it was minimized, and it was covered up, and so people were being told they were conspiracy theorists or they were anti-vaxxers who were jeopardizing the public health simply by talking about what happened to them or a loved one. It was then, I think, that the experience of the people was at such odds with what they were being told by the government and the pharmaceutical companies and medical trade that naturally there was going to be an increase in distrust in what the CDC was saying to people, what the government was saying to people about this vaccine. And that is, if you look at the polls that have come out in the past year, it shows that the trust in CDC recommendations are at a historic low. Well, you know, I can only say that the responsibility lies at the feet of those who were not honest with the people.
Yeah. Barbara Lowe Fisher is with us here today on Crosstalk, and you mentioned Guillain-Barré, and I just saw a story on WND.com that mid-July, a health emergency declared by officials in Peru over a sudden surge in Guillain-Barré syndrome, one of the potential side effects to COVID-19 shots.
Right, and there is, the long COVID that is associated with the SARS-CoV-2 infection. And we know now, this is another part of the story that I believe has contributed to the loss of trust in federal recommendations on this issue. We now know that NIH did give $2 to $3 million for risky gain-of-function research at Chinese research institutions.
Let me interrupt you right there, because we're up against a break, and this is a very important part here. Folks, stay with us. We'll be back in 1 minute. Barbara Lowe Fisher is with us. Back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, I've heard that men have one less rib than women due to the creation of Eve from Adam's rib. Is this correct?
No, it's not, Chris. This is an urban legend that's patently untrue. Men and women have the same number of ribs. The number of ribs is controlled by genetics, and this supplies the same number of ribs, even if one is taken out. The same sort of thing happens if one loses a hand in an accident. If he later has children, that child will have hands. Even though this legend has grown up in some circles, the Bible never even gives a hint that this might be true. The Bible is not a legend. It's an accurate record. We best not impose our own legendary biases on the Back to Genesis truth.
To discover more facts that support your faith, visit us on the web at www.icr.org. That's www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Barbara Lowe Fisher is with us today, the president of the National Vaccine Information Center. We're talking about COVID shots and, yes, how they brought about a new awakening to vaccinations as a whole. What's going on? Barbara, you were just getting into something very, very important here as it relates to gain of function. Now, I know Senator Rand Paul is outraged as he grilled more than once Anthony Fauci about gain of function. Fauci denied this over and over, even belittled Senator Paul, saying, you don't know what you're talking about. But now, I mean, Fauci emails have been released. He was talking about gain of function and NIH directly involved in funding this. So go ahead, pick up where you left off.
That's right. Last month, two congressmen issued a joint statement confirming that the U.S. government, specifically NIH, gave $2 to $3 million to Chinese research institutions, like the including the Wuhan Institute of Virology, to engage in risky gain of function research before the sudden outbreak of SARS-CoV-2 in late 2019 in China, which led to the WHO declaring a global COVID-19 pandemic in early 2020. So the statement they issued is this. Today, the GAO confirmed that U.S. taxpayer dollars awarded from the National Institutes of Health and USAID were ultimately used for research by entities in China, including the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which was known to be doing coronavirus research. This revelation is very concerning due to the increased focus on the lab leak theory, which suggests that the virus may have originated from the Wuhan laboratory rather than through natural means. We have long argued that the American people deserve the truth about COVID-19's origin and continue to take concrete actions to declassify intelligence related to the pandemic. Hmm. And today, Rand Paul sent an official criminal referral to the Department of Justice charging that Anthony Fauci, former director of NIH's Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, committed perjury when he testified before a Senate committee in 2021 and repeatedly said that no NIH funding went to the Wuhan lab for gain-of-function research. This is a huge deal because, you know, we have all been put through hell the last 3 years with this pandemic that basically locked down our society for months in 2020, causing economic devastation, particularly for small businesses. People were fired from their jobs from not getting the COVID-19 biological product. Mm-hmm. Little children, as young as two, were forced to mask up on flights and in schools, in preschools. I mean, this was a terrible thing that happened to us, and if this was indeed this escape from this lab was because these scientists were doing gain-of-function research that had formally been outlawed in, I think it was 2017, in this country, we said, we're not going to do that. And then somehow, I don't know exactly how, but NIH got around it, and then they funded this gain-of-function research on the coronavirus. So it's we'll see where it goes, but that whole issue combined with the reactivity of the COVID vaccine and the fact that it doesn't prevent infection and transmission is the reason I believe that a lot of people are asking questions not just about COVID vaccine. They're asking questions about all the other vaccines and what were the protections in place to guarantee that those other vaccines on the mandatory vaccination schedule for children were proven safe and effective. And I can tell you, from being an activist since 1982, an informed consent activist, I can tell you that the DPT vaccine that injured my son in 1980, when you go back and look at the history of how that vaccine got on the schedule, you know that this system, this vaccination system, has not for decades I make the case ever since smallpox vaccine has not been a kind of system that guarantees the safety and effectiveness of these products.
And now they're talking about a malaria vaccine. I mean,
there's hundreds of vaccines that they're creating.
Yeah.
I mean, they're creating vaccines for every infectious and non-infectious disease. We're up to 72 doses of 17 vaccines that children are supposed to get from the day of birth until age 18, with 52 doses given before the age of 6. It's going to be over 100 eventually.
My.
And where is the science looking at that schedule?
Mm-hmm.
In 2013, the Institute of Medicine published a report that basically said the early childhood schedule between 0 and 6 years old has not been studied and proven to be safe. They need to do the study. They need to do the research. But that research has not been done.
Barbara, there's a very interesting Lancet study that's come out pertaining to review of autopsies after COVID vaccination. It's a study that was posted online earlier this month and very quickly removed. What did that study reveal?
Well, five distinguished scientists, researchers, posted a preprint on the Lancet website reporting that a systematic review of 325 autopsies showed that COVID-19 vaccine caused or significantly contributed to 74% of the deaths, and that the most affected organ system was the cardiovascular system, you know, the heart. About 53% of those deaths was associated with malfunction of the heart, followed by blood, respiratory, and multiple organ systems. And the mean time of vaccination to death was 14 days, with most deaths occurring within a week of the last vaccine dose. That study, when it was put up onto the preprint website, the Lancet's website, within 24 hours, the Lancet editors removed the study from the medical journal's website, and they stated, quote, "This preprint has been removed by preprints with the Lancet because the study's conclusions are not supported by the study methodology." That was the only explanation they gave. And again, these were distinguished scientists, most of them from universities, who published this report. But that's not the only study that's been censored from the medical literature. Because the censorship is not just in the media, on social media or mainstream media, affecting activists like myself and others. It's also the medical literature is now deciding that if a study does not conform to the narrative of the government or the World Health Organization on COVID-19 vaccines and the disease, then, you know, in most cases, it's going to be withdrawn. There was a study in October 2021 that, again, found that COVID-19 vaccine damages the heart. It had used data from the VAERS system. It found that teenagers had increased risk for myocarditis after COVID shots. That study was removed. There was one earlier this year that found that COVID-19 vaccine-related deaths were much higher than the government was admitting. That was retracted. So, you know, it's very dangerous if scientists cannot publish scientific papers that challenge the prevailing policy, public health policy,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then how are we ever going to find out what the truth is?
Yeah, and getting to the truth is so important, and we're seeing so many things coming out, Barbara, that is causing this skepticism, causing this new awakening. I am looking right now at the Worldometer information where India has, 4.5 times the population of the United States, and yet they have less than half the COVID deaths that took place in India over the U.S., And I saw an article just recently, too, from where they were reporting that even New York Times quietly admitting that the deaths from COVID were overcounted by some 30%. I'm sure other stories are pointing toward other things, but people are questioning why would the United States have, according to this, over 1.1 million deaths due to COVID when India, nearly four and a half times our population, had less than half of our deaths?
Well, you know, it goes back to, I don't know if you remember, in 2020 and 2021, the old saying, did you die of COVID or did you die with COVID? There was this issue of anyone who ended up in the hospital, who had an underlying chronic health care condition, whether it's diabetes or heart disease or whatever.
People in motorcycle accidents.
They tested positive for COVID.
Yeah.
Then if they died in the hospital, it was from COVID. They put on the autopsy report that it was COVID. And, you know, if you go into a hospital, I just had a personal experience with somebody who I knew that went into a hospital recently. They really, really press you to get that COVID test. No matter if your symptoms have anything to do with COVID, you are pressed to get a COVID test. And I keep thinking about this whole issue of did you die of COVID or with COVID?
Hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, we need to point out as well, Dr. Mandy Cohen, the new director for Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, she indicated that her agency is likely to come up with some guidance this fall that Americans should get an annual COVID-19 booster. Your response to this?
Yeah, that was something that I'm sure she wishes she hadn't said so early before it had gone through the process. But she did say that, and it's not a surprise, really. Because the companies, Pfizer, for example, has been wringing its hands that even though it made $100 billion on the mRNA COVID vaccine, Comirnaty, in 2021 and 2022, they know that the demand is falling off because, well, at this point, most people have either had COVID and have natural immunity or they have gotten vaccinated. So the demand is down, and they, of course, want to keep that revenue stream coming to them. So all of us have been monitoring policy, vaccine policy, pretty much suspected that the booster dose would be become an annual booster dose, and they are already working on. In fact, Pfizer got a fast track authorization from the FDA. To fast track a combination influenza and COVID vaccine, which is what I think they ultimately really want everyone to take every year.
Mm-hmm.
Is you go in, you just get that one shot that has both an updated COVID, whatever they say the COVID strain is that year, with whatever they say the influenza strain is that year. And what's it's so ironic is the influenza vaccine is notorious for being ineffective.
Right, right.
I mean, in the last 15 years, it's less than 50% effective, sometimes almost, I don't know, 10%. And they want to put that ineffective vaccine together with the COVID shot, which is also pretty much ineffective.
We got to take a break here. Barbara Lowe Fisher with us from the National Vaccine Information Center. Friends, we've got a little more to discuss, but we'll also be giving you their website where you can stay informed. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
One of the prevalent conflicts in society is the battle over gender and marriage. We are flooded with stories pertaining to drag queen story hours, the restroom debates, gender reassignment surgeries, pronoun identification, biological males on female athletic teams, and so much more. These issues are not only confronting schools and businesses, but they have also encroached inside the church. Many are left wondering how to deal with these matters. The book, The Marriage and Gender War, addresses these issues head-on by using the absolute standard for morality as found in God's Word, and is edited by Bodie Hodge and Ken Ham. The book is designed to equip students, parents, Christian leaders, and others to uphold the truths of Scripture on these critical issues. The Gender and Marriage War is available for a donation of $16 by calling VCY at 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Barbara Lowe Fisher is our guest today. She is president of the National Vaccine Information Center. And Barbara, you have a ton of stories on your site. You've been following this matter for decades on vaccinations. And we talk about a new awakening that's coming to many people now on vaccinations as a whole, since, you know, COVID has revealed so much here. But you've been tracking this for decades. And tell us about your website, what's available there. I know you also have a portal whereby people can monitor what's happening legislatively in their state.
Right. Well, we have NVIC.org, National Vaccine Information Center, NVIC.org, which is the oldest website that we have, started in 1995. A lot of referenced information, over 2,000 pages, actually, on that website. We have NVICAdvocacy.org, which is our activist website where you sign up and it's free. And you can learn how to become a vaccine choice activist in your state so you can protect your right to make volunteer decisions. And in fact, that portal has been so successful, we really feel that it was a major reason why no state legislature voted to mandate a COVID-19 vaccine for school attendance.
Mm-hmm.
And that again, this year, nobody has mandated, so we're very happy about that. We also have the vaccinereaction.org. That's our weekly journal newspaper, and some of these topics we've talked about today, we have referenced articles on that website. So,
okay.
And MedAlerts.org is another website we sponsor. That's the user-friendly search engine for the VAERS system. So if you want to go in and look at some of the 1.5 million adverse events reported after COVID-19 vaccine to the government, you can go on MedAlerts.org and you can find descriptions of those reactions.
Folks, she wasn't exaggerating. I mean, the VAERS report, 1.576 million adverse reactions, and that's reported. And Barbara, there's many more that are not reported.
Right. One government study in 2011, basically funded study, basically said that about 1% of all vaccine adverse events are ever reported to VAERS.
Wow. So again, folks, it's NVIC.org, NVICAdvocacy.org, VaccineReaction.org.
The VaccineReaction.org,
and MedAlerts.org. Okay.
Yes.
Barbara, we were just mentioning about Dr. Mandy Cohen, the new director at CDC, and talking about, these annual boosters for COVID-19 shots. I find it interesting. She also said this, we're just on the precipice of that, so I don't want to get ahead of where our scientists are here and doing this evaluation work. And I thought, haven't they been doing this all along, just going ahead of the science, even when science doesn't give us the information that they're saying it does?
Yeah, I mean, they know. I mean, the scientists at the CDC and the FDA know exactly what's what with this vaccine. And so I do think it's interesting that she gave this interview and gave everybody a heads up. There was also an editorial, I can't remember which journal it was in, where they were talking about vaccine hesitancy and how they're going to have to use so many resources to mount frequent vaccination campaigns because anti-vaccination sentiment continues to grow. And, quote, the public's appetite for regular vaccinations has waned.
Hmm.
That's right.
Yeah.
What they did with this vaccine and with this pandemic, what they did, people will not forget. The children, the teenagers, the young people, all of us, none of us are going to forget what happened in 2020. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens when the next, quote, epidemic, or what they declare as a pandemic, is declared, because people are going to remember. And they're going to have a lot of doubt about what they're being told.
Friends, our phone number to Crosstalk today, if you have a question on vaccinations, maybe COVID or some of the other things we've talked about, 800-733-9829, 1-800-733-9829. And something to point out here, Barbara, I know that there's a number of colleges, universities, they're still requiring students to get the COVID shot in order to attend.
There are a number that are doing it. Some have dropped the requirement because they know that people are staying away. Students are making decisions not to go to colleges that require the COVID vaccine. And you have the same thing with military recruitment. They discharge so many service members mm-hmm. and pilots, even
yes.
pilots in working for commercial airlines. There was a recent decision that, they would continue to require, the government says, we're not going to allow these people to be reinstated. And I think that there's been a huge underestimation by government about the reluctance of people to bow to these mandates.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important for everybody to get involved in government. That's my main message. All stages of government, from your city and local through your state and federal, we have to elect lawmakers who will make sensible laws that don't violate our autonomy and our right to protect biological integrity.
You know, one thing I noticed is the stories, too, they don't get a lot of national publicity, but it's about the Amish who refused, all forms of the COVID shots, and they saw very little loss of life compared to those, of course, that succumbed to the COVID shots.
You know, I haven't seen that report. Please send me a link.
Great.
I want to look at it.
Let's go to the phone line. Our lines are packed right now. Let's begin in Brookfield. We have Jim calling. You're on the air.
Hi there. I'd like to know there's a difference between what the scientists are finding about this vaccine in Europe, I guess the rest of the world. How is that going to be interlocked with what our CDC and our FDA has to say? Can they keep on silencing those scientists?
There's a difference between the scientists who are trying to publish in the medical literature what they've found that's at variance with what the governments are saying. But the truth is that it's the governments because of these public-private business partnerships that have developed between the pharmaceutical industry and governments and the World Health Organization, the United Nations, this global public health empire, I call it, they're the ones, those in charge of that empire are the ones who make policy. And so the scientists, if they can manage to publish in the scientific literature, whether they're from Europe or from here or from wherever, they can publish. But what happens at the policy-making level? That's why we have to elect lawmakers. All of us in free societies, or those of us who have constitutional republics of the U.S. or democracies, need to elect lawmakers that understand this issue and are going to put in informed consent protections. Because that's the only way we can put leverage on the companies and governments to make vaccines and any pharmaceutical product safer and have proper public health policy, because if we're forced to use it and we have no right to say no, we have no leverage. And in this country, as of 2011, with the U.S. Supreme Court decision saying that vaccines are unavoidably unsafe and there will be no product liability for the vaccine companies, you cannot sue anybody who either makes the vaccine, profits from it, sells it, makes policy for it, regulates it, gives it. Nobody in the system is accountable in a civil court of law if you are injured or die from a vaccination. So it makes it even more important to have laws in place that respect the informed consent ethic.
Jim, thank you for the call. We've got lines packed. Crystal in Wichita Falls, Texas. Crystal, you're on the air.
Hi. Before the break a little while ago, you had mentioned something about long haulers, and I was wondering if you would go into more detail on that. My mom has actually been diagnosed with long haulers about 2 years ago, and it's so hard to find any information about it.
Yeah, actually, we published an article on the vaccine reaction. I think it was a few weeks ago that talks about the similarities between long COVID and long vaccine COVID vaccine reactions. There is some research that's starting to be done on the similarities between both long COVID and the vaccine reactions that contribute to a long term health problems. And so I would urge you to go onto our website, thevaccinereaction.org, and take a look at the information. You can also, of course, do your own Google search. But this research is just starting to be done. And the constellation of symptoms that seem to be both happening with long COVID and the vaccine reactions that have long-term consequences have to do with brain and immune system dysfunction. So you can have arrhythmias. You can have something that where you have faint, pass out, can't go from a sitting to a standing position without fainting, severe fatigue, joint pain, body pain, chronic, that interferes with your ability to do normal things.
Let me just mention, so look at NVIC.org. Also, we did a full program on Crosstalk here on the topic of long-haul COVID-19. Our guest was Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valit, who co-authored some resource materials with Dr. Peter McCullough. But we did a program. It was like 10 months ago, September 29th, 2022. But if you go to crosstalkamerica.com and in the search box, just put long-haul COVID, that the interview will come up, and we've dealt a full program on the topic.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Julie in Pensacola, Florida. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I just have a quick question about the shot for the children. I always wondered, autism, you know, that's something that came out like 30 years ago, I would think, somewhere around there, because it never was a case when I was a little girl, and I'm 66, but I wondered if maybe because there's so many immunization shots or doses that are given, could it be contributing to autism?
Well, you know, if you go back, all of the vaccines have the ability to cause chronic inflammation in the body, because when you are injected with a vaccine, what it does is it stimulates your body. You mount an acute inflammatory response so that antibodies will be produced. And some people don't resolve that inflammation, and it can become chronic, and it can either affect the brain or your joints or your heart. So really, if you look at any of the vaccines, you see this pattern. For some people, they don't get through the process of vaccination without suffering long-term health problems or even dying. So you really have to look at each vaccine, because each vaccine has different ingredients. Each vaccine has a different constellation of symptoms that are associated with reactions. And with regard to autism, we know now that autism involves chronic inflammation in the brain and immune system.
Thank you.
The government says it's not associated with vaccination, but I don't believe that's true. I think that there is an association.
Thank you for the call. We're up against a break. Back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, I was reading Luke chapter 11, where Jesus confronted the Pharisees and the scribes of his day and all their ritualistic washing. And he said to them, "Do you not realize the one who made the outside made the inside?" You know, it's convicting. We can look like we have it all together on the outside, but God knows the heart. In fact, that's what the Bible says. God looks on the heart while man looks on the outward appearance. The Bible also goes on through that revelation to explain how Christ is not concerned about ritual. He's concerned about our relationship with him. How many today are counting on rituals to save them? Moralizing, good works, tradition. Isn't it wonderful to know that salvation is a free gift of God by faith alone? Changing our mind about who we are, what we deserve, and trusting in Christ alone. Amen to that, right?
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and today our topic is COVID shots, a new awakening, as a new awakening is happening on many a vaccination as a result of what we have seen take place here. Let me before picking up the next phone call, just give the websites that Barbara has given today, NVIC.org. That stands for National Vaccine Information Center, NVIC.org. NVICAdvocacy.org. They track legislation that's going around in the various states. That's their activist portal. And then there is also thevaccinereaction.org. You'll see regular columns coming out there, and medalerts.org. That is also available to you. Let's go back to the phone lines to Hillsboro, Illinois. David, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. We heard a report on one of the Christian radio stations last week that research is being done into the possibility that some of the batches of the vaccines were actually placebos, so that people were not developing adverse reactions when they got those shots, and that would dispel some of the suspicions about the shots being dangerous. Because X number of people took them successfully and they didn't have any problems. So, and we have family members who have taken the shots and didn't have any adverse reactions to them. So anyway, I'd like to hear what your guest has to say about that. Thank
Great.
You.
Thank you. Barbara.
You know, the placebo issue is attached to the finding of some scientists that there was lot variations in lots. I mean, vaccine lot variation goes back to DPT vaccine. I remember when we used to publish reports of hot lots of DPT vaccine, those lots that were associated with a particularly high number of vaccine reactions. And in fact, in the 1986 law, we got in that law that all the doctors had to write down the manufacturer's name and lot number, specifically because we knew that there were some lots that were more dangerous than others. So this is not a new concept. And there are scientists who say there's a great variation in the COVID vaccine, 19 mRNA COVID vaccine, the 19 vaccine lots. And they say that this means that they cannot be, the companies cannot be adhering to good manufacturing practices because there shouldn't be a great variation in the lots. And that's true. There shouldn't. You shouldn't have one lot associated with a whole lot of deaths and another lot not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the placebo issue. That's another issue that's been alleged to be part of this lot variation story. But I don't know if that's been proven yet.
Let's go to a caller from Kansas. Kansas caller, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. My question has to do with the transmissibility of the COVID vaccines from person to person. So in the case of a spouse where one spouse got the shots and the other didn't, so with intimate contact like AIDS is transmissible, can that happen? Is there data to support that, or is that being studied?
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, the most famous cases of transmission, vaccine strain transmission, are the attenuated live virus vaccines like varicella zoster, chickenpox vaccine, like certainly smallpox vaccine. When you attenuate a live virus, there's some bioactivity there, and you can transmit, and you can get vaccine strain infection. It's thought to be rare, but it does occur. I have heard there have been allegations that even though this mRNA COVID vaccine is not a live virus vaccine, It's not an inactivated bacterial vaccine. It is a product that manipulates the cells, that forces the cells to produce the synthetic spike protein of SARS-CoV-2 virus. But it's encapsulated, that mRNA is encapsulated in nanoparticles. There have been allegations that there is some kind of transmission going on, and people use the example of a woman gets vaccinated and then has close contact with another woman who has not been vaccinated, and that woman who has not been vaccinated has malfunction of the menstrual cycle, starts bleeding, say is in menopause and starts bleeding. Then there's this allegation that there's some kind of transmission going on with the vaccine. I do not know the answer to it. Mm-hmm. I know that certainly the authorities are not fond of looking at this.
Yeah.
So any science that comes out is going to have to be done by scientists who are self-funding and are trying to get published.
And let me squeeze one last call in from Arizona. Pote, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah,
can you hear me?
Turn your radio off, please, Pote. We're down to 90 seconds. Go ahead with your question.
Okay. I am a recipient of the 60s mandate vaccine, and I have the scar. Getting back to the COVID, so I only took the COVID vaccine because the president insisted. So after all of the excitement calmed down, I went to get the shot,
mm-hmm.
and I read all the information that I was required to sign, and I crossed out the part that said we will not accept any responsibility for harm.
Okay, tell you what, we're down to 30 seconds, Barbara.
Yeah. That's because Congress passed a law in 2020 that said nobody is going to be responsible for financially if somebody gets hurt by the COVID vaccine. So there's no liability for anybody associated with this process.
So even if she crossed that off, that's not going to do any good, is it?
Oh, nothing. No. Nobody is going to be able to sue in court, and unless the lawyers find a way around it, I hope they're working on it. And the compensation program is a joke that they created. Hardly anybody has been compensated in this special countermeasures pandemic compensation program. So buyer beware.
Thank you, Pote, for the call. Barbara, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Friends, a new awakening happening and brought about really through the COVID shots and all that's been unfolding before our very eyes. You can check out more info at nvic.org. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.